it could, the $2,000 dividend could come in lots of forms and lots of ways, George. It could be just the tax decreases that we are seeing on the president's agenda. You know, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, deductibility of auto loans. So, you know, those are substantial deductions that, you know, are being financed in the tax bill.
So we've seen some crazy stuff in the last couple of months.
Russian.
Oh, hello.
Oh. Hard times.
Electricity.
Electricity is gone.
You know, not everything.
Okay, good.
This is my video update on this Monday, midday, November the 10th. Coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Guardian interview of Zelensky at his presidential palace or presidential compound, whatever you call it. And this was an exclusive Guardian interview of the Green Goblin. And a lot of people are talking about this interview. Not so much because of what Zelensky said, though I will get to that in a minute. But because during the interview, the lights went out. I've been talking about the blackouts in Ukraine and in Kiev from the Russian strikes on energy facilities. And as the Guardian journalist, I believe it was journalist Luke Harding who was interviewing Zelensky, as he was asking Zelensky about the crazy stuff that the Russians have been doing over the past couple of months. That was his lead up to his question of Zelensky. Right as he was saying the word Russians, he said, Russians, the lights go out. Right as he says Russians, the crazy stuff, Russians, lights go out. Yeah. There was a nice blue light in the background, though. There was some blue lighting. I don't know if it was coming from the windows or what that blue lighting was, but it wasn't completely dark. Go figure. And the cameras and the mics, it looks like they were running off of battery or something like that, right? Because they were all fine. The Guardian journalist, Zelensky, they laughed it off. They took it all in stride, right? This is, you know, it's... This is the situation. That's basically what they said. No problem. The interview goes on, right? Yeah, very convenient timing, huh? Very convenient timing. Maybe Podolyak was up to something, right? Maybe Podolyak turned off the lights, huh? Okay, Podolyak, listen. When this Mr. Journalist man, when he says word Russian... I want you to turn light down. Okay, Podolyak, you got it. Yes, Mr. President, no problem. Russians, when he says Russians, I'll turn off the light. Yes, Mr. Podolyak. I have some nice blue lighting in the background, so it won't be completely dark. It will look good for camera. So yeah, that happened. Let me pull up a post here. On X from Rampejek. Notice the perfect lighting after the blackout. CTB filters give the blue effect, add a little sound effect and a bit of acting, and you have the scene. Hollywood would be proud. Yeah, I think this person knows about lighting that posted this on X. So the Guardian interview has the title, well, the article about the interview from The Guardian has the title, Volodymyr Zelensky says he's not afraid of Trump in exclusive interview. So the Guardian asked Zelensky about his relationship with Trump. And so many world leaders, all the world leaders, are afraid of Trump. But not Zelensky. Zelensky is not afraid of Trump. He believes that he has a constructive and good relationship with the U.S. president. The journalist asked him about his meeting in the White House, the last time he was at the White House, and whether the reports about Trump getting angry and throwing a card or something at Zelensky, and then throwing the maps off the table or something like that, right? Zelensky like brought some maps when he was at the White House to try and convince Trump that Ukraine was winning the war. And then Trump, he took the maps and he just threw them off the table, right? Pushed them off the table, all the maps. And then he threw a card in Zelensky's face or something like that. That's what the media was reporting, right? I don't care about your maps. I like it. I don't like it. I don't like the maps. Yeah, like that really happened. Of course it did. Of course it did. Trump was very upset with Zelensky. Very upset. Very upset. Oh, man. So that was what the journalist was asking Zelensky. And Zelensky said, I'm not afraid of Mr. Trump. We have good relationship. Oh, boy. The Ukraine president talks to The Guardian's Luke Harding. Okay, so it was Luke Harding. About the state of the war with Russia almost 4 years after Moscow launched its full-scale invasion. He says his relationship with his U.S. counterpart is businesslike and constructive, and he is driven to keep going by his love of his country. Volodymyr Zelensky, why should I be afraid of Donald Trump? True, why should he be afraid of Donald Trump? If we're being completely honest, right? Let's go this way. Why should he be afraid of Trump? He went to the White House, not his last trip in the White House, the one before that. And he went to the White House and he insulted the office of the president. He insulted the vice president. He insulted everyone at the White House. And Trump did nothing. So why should he be afraid? I came into the White House, bro. Mr. Luke Harding, Mr. Guardian journalist, are you asking me if I'm afraid of Trump? Why should I be afraid of Trump? I went to the White House, I insulted everybody, and I got money and weapons. Why should I be afraid? And I didn't have to apologize, right? I never apologized for it. I'm not afraid of Trump. Yeah. Zelensky also said that that there should be troops in Ukraine. So he threw that out there. Now we're talking about boots on the ground, right? Boots on the ground is what he talked about. And he actually said that you should have British troops in Ukraine patrolling the border of Belarus. That's the new ask from Zelensky. Actually, I think the Guardian journalist threw it out there. I think he's the one that got the ball rolling on boots on the ground and British troops at the border with Belarus. You know, maybe we can have some British troops on the border with Belarus. And Zelensky's like, yeah, why not? Absolutely, let's do that. So Sirsky, the commander of the Ukraine military, he said in a statement that everything in Pokrovsk is under control. That is what Sirsky said. Everything is under control. Under whose control? Not Ukraine's control, that's for sure, but he said everything in Pokrovsk is under control. And he also said that there's a plan B and a plan C. No need to worry. There is a plan B in place. There's a plan C. How about a plan. Tell your, how about this for a plan? Not plan B, not plan C. How about tell your soldiers to surrender so you can save their lives? How about that for a plan? And you can stop all your nonsense, Sirski, about plan Bs and Cs and everything is under control and all of your propaganda BS. How about you just give the order to your soldiers to save their lives and surrender? I think that's the right plan. But Sirski will not do that, nor will Alensky. They will not give that order. So speaking about the UK and British troops, it looks like British troops will be going to Belgium. They will be heading to Belgium in order to help Belgium deal with the hybrid attacks, the drones and all of these things coming from Russia. Even though no one is specifically saying Russia, I don't think we have an official statement saying it is Russia that is sending the drones into Belgium, but they're hinting at it. And now you're going to get British troops to Belgium in order to help deal with all of those drones, right? All of those drones. This comes a day after the Belgium defense minister sent out a letter to 140 or 150,000 17-year-olds telling them to join the military. He said, come on, let's go. Join the military, 17-year-old Belgium youth. And then before that, the British defense minister talked about how Belgium is going to level Moscow. And now you have the British troops coming into Belgium to deal with all the drones. You know what this is all about. This is all about creating the hysteria, the fear and all of this stuff to get everyone on board in Belgium with the Russian frozen assets. That's what this is all about. All of this Belgium war hysteria, leveling Moscow, military service drone nonsense is about getting everyone in Belgium on board to green light the 140 billion at Euroclear to the Green Goblin. The pitch to Belgium, to the citizens of Belgium, is going to be this. When that money goes to the Green Goblin, your economy's going to melt down. Euroclear is going to shut down. Yep, all of that is going to happen. But, you have to do it because it's all about national security, right? How else are you going to be able to protect your country against Russia? The best way to protect Belgium against Russia's hybrid attacks is to give the money to the Green Goblin. Yep, your economy crumbles. But it's all about national security, right? That's what this is all about. That's why they're creating all of this hysteria in Belgium. It's no coincidence that all this hysteria has been whipped up over the past week or two. So should we do a Nord Stream update? Should we talk about the Wall Street Journal article that came out on the German investigation into Nord Stream and the German investigators who have been investigating Nord Stream? They've been very, very serious about their investigation into Nord Stream. They're very focused. They're very serious to get to the bottom of what happened to Nord Stream, those German investigators. They're hinting at a connection to Zaluzhny, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Nord Stream investigation that's splintering Europe over Ukraine. German detectives have spent 3 years building their case. A Ukrainian veteran could soon be in the dock. German investigators believe that a group of Ukrainians who allegedly blew up the Nord Stream pipeline did so under the leadership of then Commander and Chief Zaluzhny. That is what the Wall Street Journal is saying. Allegedly, these Ukrainians who allegedly blew up Nord Stream, they allegedly got the orders, allegedly, from then commander of the Ukraine military, Zaluzhny, who is now the Ukraine ambassador to the UK. So is the Wall Street Journal saying that German investigators believe that the Ukraine ambassador to the UK had something to do with the Nord Stream pipeline? Where'd you go? There you are. Oh man, you're fast. You're a fast one. So yeah, is that what they're saying? The ambassador to the UK had something to do with Nord Stream? Is that the allegation that German investigators are coming out with, according to the Wall Street Journal? You know, they've been reporting on this whole Zaluzhny connection, alleged Zaluzhny connection. They've been reporting on this for over 2 years. The BBC said in September 2023, that Kiev's top general may become a suspect of the criminal probe into Nord Stream. That is what the BBC was saying way back in 2023. And now you have the German investigators, after a very, very thorough investigation into Nord Stream, 3 years investigating Nord Stream, and now they are coming to the conclusion that maybe, allegedly, perhaps, Zaluzhny had something to do with this. Maybe, perhaps, allegedly. So in the United States, and we'll get back to the BBC, believe that. In the United States, it looks like we have a shutdown deal. Senators advance tentative deal to end the government shutdown. So it looks like we have a deal. The shutdown might be over. It's going to take a couple of days to run its course through the Senate, through the House. And if everything is okay, then for Trump to sign the deal. And it's going to take the U.S. government up until January 2026, this deal. It'll keep the government open, or it will reopen the government just for a couple of more months. But we may be seeing an end to the longest government shutdown in history for the United States. And it's a good thing that we have a deal. It's a very, very good thing that we have a deal, because we got reports from Axios just yesterday that the government shutdown is affecting the MIC, the military companies. Yeah, the government shutdown is causing problems with getting weapons to all of the conflicts that the weapons need to go to. And it's making it very difficult for the MIC to do business with the government, right? So yeah, once that news came out, then the Congress said, oh crap, we better come up with a deal, right? We better end this shutdown now. Before, when it was news that the government shutdown was causing problems with education and healthcare and services for the American people, then it was, you know, we should keep the shutdown going. It's you know, keep it going, right? We got to keep it going. But the minute the MIC started to complain, well, then they had to get a deal going right away. They had to hammer out a deal. According to Axios, weapons sales to NATO allies stalled by government shutdown. Can't have that. cannot have the stalling of weapons. No, no, no. Solve the shutdown. Come up with a deal right now. Let's work day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to figure this thing out. We cannot have weapons being stalled. No, no, no. So Trump, he announced on Truth Social that he is thinking of a $2,000 dividend to American citizens, except the very wealthy. And this dividend is because of his tariffs. $2,000 to all American citizens. That's what's going to be paid out in the form of a dividend. The stimulus, a $2,000 stimulus is what we're really talking about, right? Didn't we have this under Biden during the coup? Yes, we did. We had a stimulus under Biden. It looks like Trump is going to use the same tactic. But this time it's because of his big, beautiful tariff policy, a $2,000 tariff stimulus, except for the rich. Let me read you what Trump posted on Truth Social. People that are against tariffs are fools. We are now the richest, most respected country in the world with almost no inflation and a record stock market price. 401ks are the highest ever. We are taking in trillions of dollars and will soon begin paying down our enormous debt, $37 trillion. Record investment in the USA. Plants and factories going up all over the place. A dividend of at least $2,000 a person, not including high-income people, will be paid to everyone. I want to see how that is going to work. Is it $2,000 to everyone? $2,000 to families? How is that $2,000 dividend going to work? Is the Trump administration taking in trillions? Really? Is that true? Because there are people that are doubting this. There are people that are adding up the numbers, and they're saying that the Trump administration so far has collected $200 billion in tariffs. $2,000 per person is $650 billion. Tariffs collected this year are under $200 billion, and there's a good chance the $200 billion will have to be refunded to the Americans who paid them after the SCOTUS finds them to be illegal. Trump is in panic and thrashing around. That's an ex post from Bob Heaslip. But a lot of people are actually adding up the numbers, or trying to add up the numbers and see if this actually works out the way Trump is presenting it. Because the numbers do not add up. Trump is saying trillions. But it looks like he's only collected $200 billion. Anyway, I'm not going to do any Annalena 360 math on this one. I'm not going to do any Annalena 360 math. I'll just accept what people are saying on X that are adding up the numbers. I'll just assume that they're correct. And if that is the case, then I don't see how a $2,000 dividend or stimulus is going to be paid out to every American citizen. But maybe that is the case. And then you have the whole Supreme Court hearing that is taking place on the tariffs. And it does look like Trump is going to lose that case. How everything unfolds after that, I'm not certain. But that's going to make this dividend payout a bit difficult if the Supreme Court rules against Trump tariffs. Then again, maybe Trump is putting this out there because he understands that the Supreme Court is going to rule against his tariffs. And so he's doing a bit of marketing, getting the American people on board for his tariff policy, right? You get the American people on board, promising a $2,000 stimulus, $2,000 dividend. And perhaps it makes the Supreme Court or Congress, if the Supreme Court takes it to Congress, which they might do in their ruling, then it makes Congress a bit more hesitant to rule against his tariffs, right? If you get the American people excited about $2,000 coming into their account, this is possible as well. Scott Bessent, he is starting to walk back a direct payment of $2,000 to American citizens. He's saying that this dividend could be paid out in many ways. It may not be a direct deposit. It may be in the form of a tax break or something like that. But it might not be $2,000 just gonna magically appear in your bank account. Keep in mind that when it comes to tariffs, the American people are paying for those tariffs as well. So the tariffs are coming at a cost to every American citizen, right? So you always have to keep that in mind as well. So getting back to the BBC, the Trump administration is very upset with the BBC. Remember the Telegraph story that I talked about a week ago, where the Telegraph ran an article from a whistleblower, information that it got from a whistleblower, who claimed that the BBC's coverage of January 6th was manipulated. They manipulated the video of Trump's speech at the Capitol, and they cut and spliced and sliced and pasted together various parts of Trump's speech to make it look like he was inciting the violence. Heavily, heavily doctored and manipulated video that the BBC ran. That's what the Telegraph reported about a week ago. And now you have the Trump administration expressing their anger over what the BBC did. Trump posted on X, "The top people in the BBC, including Tim Davey, the boss, are all quitting, fired, because they were caught doctoring my very good, perfect," all caps, perfect, "speech on January the 6th. Thank you to the Telegraph for exposing these corrupt journalists," in quotes. "These are very dishonest people who tried to step on the scales of a presidential election. On top of everything else, they are from a foreign country, one that many consider our number one ally. What a terrible thing for democracy." Yes, it is a terrible thing for democracy. Yes, it is. Your number one ally. The state-funded media outlet, the BBC. State-funded, man. State-sponsored, state-supported BBC, according to the Telegraph, was doctoring your speech, President Trump. That is election meddling, isn't it? That's just a guess, but I would say it's election meddling, trying to make you look bad. That's the state-sponsored BBC. So what do you do if you're the president of the United States? What do you do? Well, foreign actor meddling in your elections? Sanctions? Is that what you do? Sanctions on the BBC? I would say that's the minimum, isn't it? I mean, even Trump in his post on X, he's saying this was meddling by a foreign country. So you got to be consistent, Trump, United States. You have to be consistent. You can't allow the BBC to meddle in your elections, whether it's for the Democrats or the Republicans. It doesn't matter. You can't allow this. What kind of sovereign nation democracy are you if you allow this to go unpunished? Right? I mean, come on. Carolyn Levitt, she posted on X two articles. One is from The Telegraph, which says Trump goes to war with fake news BBC. White House attacks leftist propaganda machine over biased doctoring of president's speech. And then she has, next to that, an image of a BBC article with the title, Tim Davey Resigns as BBC Director General over Trump Documentary Edit. Yeah, you're admitting your guilt, BBC, with the CEO resigning. You're basically saying, yeah, we doctored the video, and our CEO is resigning. So please don't punish us, you see? Our CEO quits. We're all good, right? We're all good. Please don't punish us, Trump. So an interesting development with the BBC and the Trump White House. Very interesting development. What will Trump do? My guess is nothing. My guess is nothing. He's going to say the CEO resigned. We're all good. No worries. That is what the Trump White House is going to do, if I had to take a guess. But who knows? Maybe he will. He will be a lot harder on the BBC than I'm suspecting he will be. So staying with the President of the United States, he did a flyover yesterday. Air Force One flew over the Washington Commanders football game, which was taking place at Northwest Stadium. And it was a pretty impressive flyover. Trump thought it was very impressive. A flyover like no other, right? He said, I'm a little late. I just wanted to say it was the greatest flyover in history. No one has ever done a flyover like that. I like it. I like it a lot. They say whoever flies Air Force One is the best pilot. So we're in for a good game. Things are going very well. The country is doing well.
I'm a little bit late. I just want to say, was that the greatest flyover ever? Nobody's ever done a flyover like that. So these are the best pilots in the world. They say whoever flies Air Force One, the best pilots. And we just saw that. That was great. So we're going to have a good game. Things are going along very well. Country's doing well. The Democrats have to open it up. Thank you very much, everybody.
It's the hottest country in the world. How do you measure that? How do you measure which country is the hottest in the world? Is there like a league, a table, which measures which countries are hot, which countries are not? How do you know that it's the hottest country in the world? Anyway, it was a flyover like no other. The greatest flyover in history, according to Trump. I like it. It was the greatest flyover in history, in all of history, going all the way back to the 1800s, there has been no flyover like this flyover. Let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up this video. And today's clown world is courtesy of Latvia. Man, the Baltic states, they are coming up strong for clown of the year, right? I may have to put in the Baltic states for an award for Clown World of the Year. They are really, really making a strong move to win the award. Whether it's Estonia or Lithuania, now we have Latvia pitching in. And according to Andris Spruds, who is, one second, the Minister of Defense of the Republic of Latvia, according to Mr. Spruds, Latvia is a drone superpower. Latvia is a drone superpower. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mr. Defense Minister, no doubt about it. It is a drone superpower. It is the drone superpower. That's what I would say. So what did Mr. Spruds post on X? Let me read it to you. Translated on X. Latvia proves it is a drone superpower. A complete drone ecosystem cycle is being developed in Latvia. from idea and development to production testing and operator training. Drone House opened in Riga. The Association Drone Force Europe opens the largest indoor micro-class drone training center in the Baltics. And he included a whole bunch of photos. The drone superpower that is Latvia, everybody. It's not only a drone superpower, it's a superpower. It's not just a drone superpower, it is a superpower. You have four big, great powers in the world today. In this multipolar world, there are four big powers. By the way, like this video, subscribe to this channel. I forgot at the beginning of the video, but it's never too late to say like, share, subscribe. Now, four big superpowers in this multipolar world. Great power, superpower number one is the United States of America. Great power, superpower number two is China. Number three is Russia. And number four is Latvia. It's a multipolar world, everybody. Pick and choose your side. Is it with the United States? Is it with China? Is it with Russia? China and Russia, BRICS? Or is it better to go with Latvia? That's a multipolar world for you. Anyway, that is the video, theduran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We are on Telegram. And check out the Duran shop. I will see everybody tomorrow. All those links are in the description box down below.